We love Brad. The reason is he dives in head first into his job. Thank you. We're tracking now. We're tracking. Hello. Oh, man. We love Pastor Brad. Amen. Love him. So I thought he had gone home, man, but he's here, and I just think that's amazing. I have a word today, and we're starting a new series called Giant. And Pastor Ray, on his last Wednesday, I think he touched very briefly, kind of talking about giants and the good and bad. And I remember looking at my phone and showing it to Lori because I had notes from about a month before wanting to address these things. And he came in and he goes, Matt, make sure you do that series. And I go, I will. So the giant moves. He's talking about like the good and the bad. It's not necessarily stories about David and Goliath and things like that, but it's more like a giant faith, talking about giant obstacles, giant purpose, the giant of fear, giant possibilities, or even the giant of technology. Everybody give me a ooh. We're going to touch a little bit on that. Today, I just want to talk to you a little bit about giant moves. How many of us understand that at some point in our walk, God is going to ask something of us that will require a big move, a significant ask that shows that we are listening and that we have the boldness to say yes? Everybody just say yes. Genesis 12:1-3, I've got a unique way of looking at this scripture, but I want to read this with you. And it says this right here, that the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make you your name great. And you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. To me, that this is not just about a physical move. That this really does have to do with something that the Lord is going to say to us spiritually. But just as important, it's about where I am now. The move that God is calling me to. If you look at that scripture, it says, now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country. Well, what about if it says this right here? Get out of that relationship and I will give you. Get out of that job and I will show you. Get out of that addiction, and I will free you. Let that one just float a little bit in here. Addiction doesn't always have to do with alcohol and drugs. Is everybody following me on this? How about step out of your comfort zone, and I will stretch you? What we also need to understand is that God doesn't just ask us to make the giant moves, but that he also wants to and will make giant moves for our benefit to be a blessing to us and our families. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, he has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end. How many of us are thankful that the Lord knows what's going on from beginning to end? And this is really what the scripture is speaking to. I love not knowing everything that's going to happen with me because I want to be able to experience the life and the blessing that God brings into my life. You know, when I was little, I had marriage figured out. I'm in kindergarten. I knew exactly who I was marrying. I'm marrying my mom. That's just how it's going to be. You know, little girls would come up, hey Matt, you want to go play get married? And I'd say, no, I'm marrying my mom. You know, anyway, you know, we'd have these little conversations, you know. I just knew I want to marry my mom. No big deal. When I got up into middle school, I'm marrying Farrah Fawcett. Anybody that was around that era, she influenced for a decade the hair, the feathering. How many of y'all understand? She knew how to skateboard, the whole thing. I mean, I'm marrying Farrah Fawcett. When obviously Lori was to be destined in my life. Is everybody following me? God knows from beginning to end how this is going to work out. You know, Lori's dad was the pastor of the church that I got radically saved. Brought me out of a mess. And at some point, you know, Lori and I are married now. We're in ministry, and he asked if we want to come and be youth pastors. We're living in California. He asked if we want to move to Texas to become youth pastors. And I remember that was a tough thing. We prayed. I mean, we sought the Lord and everything because I couldn't think of anything better than go to the church where I interned and where I got saved and all this and to raise up a youth group and all this. And we chose not to because we didn't feel that the Lord was calling us to this. Now, here's the questions. Would it have been a great experience? Yes. Was I qualified to do the job as youth pastor there? Yes. Did I love Lori's dad and would I have learned even more from him? Absolutely. It would have been easy. Everybody say easy.
Easy.
It would have been easy to choose to do that. But God had other plans. You see, Lori and I meeting, this is before Facebook. There's no social media. You know, there's no email, there's no FaceTime, there's none of this. Put up this, there's a map that's going to come up here. We use this on Tuesday nights. And we pray over our nation, we pray over our world, but it shows the epicenters of our nation and all this. And, well, when I was born in Little Rock, Arkansas in 1966. I'm showing my age here, you guys. I'm going to just tell you when I was born. 66. When I was about this big, my mom and dad and I got into a Volkswagen Beetle and drove from Arkansas to California. Look at it on the map. It's a good long drive. They drove me out there, and a few years later, Lori was born in Kenosha, Wisconsin, right up there at the top. When I got a little older, my brother was born around age 4. We moved back to Arkansas. So I'm in California. I'm back to Arkansas. Lori moves from Wisconsin to Minnesota. Follow what I'm doing here. I'm back in Arkansas. One year, we're up in Oklahoma. We come back to Arkansas. Lori moves to California with her family. Her dad's pastoring out there now. So where I was, now she is. She eventually moves from California to Texas. My dad gets a major promotion in his work that moves us to Texas, and we find each other in Fort Worth. That's God from beginning to end. We can't make this stuff up. We can't do, and what I want to say to that is that God knows what he is doing. Let me say that again. God, the God that we serve, knows what he is doing. Jeremiah 29:11. Look at how many times plans comes in one in scripture. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Romans 8:28, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purposes. And then Proverbs 16:9, the heart of a man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. In most of the translations, it says that he directs. If you get into the Hebrew, the word yahin, everybody say yahin. You ever need to clear your throat, use yahin. That'll get it out of there for you. But it's the Hebrew for directs, to make ready, to determine, one who prepares, the one who establishes. God is in control and he knows what he is doing. In Psalms 32:8, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. And then one more scripture. You guys love scripture today? 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, but as it is written, what no eye has seen, no ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared. Takes a lot of that responsibility off our shoulders because we serve a God that just knows what he's doing. He's prepared it ahead of time. When God speaks into our lives, sometimes we get filled with anxious thoughts because some of us sometimes are just like, wait, now? Now, Lord? Or we go through the feeling of like, when? Because that's real big with us. When God calls him or we ask him to do something in our lives, we want to know, when is this going to happen? So we struggle with that. Giant moves for God are amazing, but the journey can be difficult at times. But I want to do a proclamation over this church right now. He has gone before you. He is with you now. And he will be with you in your new season. In your new season. It means it's not like it was 10 years ago. It's going to be new. It's going to be new for you. Isn't God good? Amen? Aren't you thankful that he still speaks for us today? God conversed with Adam. He first conversed with him in the garden. He told Noah to build an ark. He spoke to Moses in a burning bush. He promised Abraham a son. He asked Mary to be the mother of the Christ child. and spoke to Paul or Saul on the way to Damascus. But guys, listen to this. Adam, he got the coolest responsibility. He got to name all the animals. But he was asked, here's the difficult thing. He was asked, out of all the things that he could name and all the things he could have access to, he couldn't eat of one tree. That's difficult, you guys. Man, I've been mad sometimes about Adam and the things that he brought to us and what we live with now and all. But listen, I wonder what I would have done. Honestly, it's a difficult thing. Noah was asked to build the ark. One of the greatest stories that we read of in the Bible, but he had to witness the destruction of the world. Moses asked to deliver God's people. What a great honor. But those same people would turn on him over and over and over. Abraham asked to go and become a great nation, but he was also asked to sacrifice his son. And we know the story. Thank the Lord he didn't. It was just to show faith. But Mary asked to be the mother of the Son of God, but would watch him give his life for the sins of the world. And then Saul asked to proclaim Jesus to the Gentiles, their kings, and to the people of Israel, but endured many beatings and imprisonments. There is nothing easy. Everybody say easy again. There is nothing easy about doing something huge for God. I was thinking about how beautiful and smooth the transition was with becoming the pastor of this amazing church. But I was also thinking about how difficult the 2 years leading up to this moment were for me. I'm going to be sharing a lot more of that in the message next week when we talk about giant obstacles. So I want you to just have your heart prepared for next week. I really believe God's going to have a word for this. He will be with you every step of the way. The releasing of blessing our lives begins with the word yes. It's a three-letter word. It has power behind it when we say yes to the things of God, and it has consequence behind it when we say yes to the things not of God. To whatever you want to do, Jesus, I say yes to you moving in my life. That is something that I could recommend everybody to be able to say here today before you leave, that no matter what you want to do, Lord, in my life today, whatever it is that you have in the next week, in the next years, I say yes to your moving in my life. Yes to clarity, revelation, direction, freedom, purpose, vision. God is going to speak to you. So I say, get ready. Get ready for what the Lord is going to do. Lori and I are moving to Virginia. Lori in 2005 went to a women's conference. I was not the biggest fan of women's conferences. I'm going to tell you why, because that meant I had to watch the kids for 3 days. I'd say, Lori, are you sure the Lord wants you to go to the women's conference? You know, because that meant I had to take care of the 5-year-old rider. I don't know if you guys have ever had to take care of a 5-year-old rider, but that, you know, I had, you know, Chase, Sky, and Ryder, and I would take care of them. But she went to this conference. The Lord meets her on the beach. They asked the women to go out. They were in Monterey, California, and they got to go to the beach with their journals and just went, and they said, go and just see what the Lord says to you. My wife goes and she sits down and God says, I want you to prepare for television and major in communications. And she was just like, she said it was just as audible as it could possibly be. And she immediately in her heart said, well, I think I need to do this at Regent. She comes home and tells me the story about what the Lord said to her, how amazing this thing was. And we need to go check out Regent. And I'm like, where's Regent? Oh, it's, you know, 3,000 miles away. And I got mad. I was so upset. You know, I'm doing exactly, you know, what we're going to talk about, living with Marissa. I'm like, he didn't say that to me. And I tell her, don't talk to me about it anymore. And we went, I was mad. She went upstairs and went to bed. And she just goes, well, I'm just going to leave this in the Lord's hand with you. Guys, in one sleeping session, I laid down and the Holy Spirit laid on top of me. And I woke up the next morning and I had a complete peace about coming out and checking out the school. 2007, we move, and there was nothing easy about the move because we had 3 kids, a 90-pound Rhodesian Ridgeback, and no jobs, no church, no family, but we came out. God had everything planned. It was set in order. Lori attended Regent. She got the only internship with the 700 Club. I get hired at Faith Alive to be an associate pastor. Lori gets hired by the 700 Club to be a researcher, to be a guest producer. Then she moved into being a producer for the interactive show. Then she became the managing producer, and now she's the producer for the 700 Club. I plant 3-in-1 Church, which is now Relate Church. 2018, God asked me to step down because that season is over. Again, listen, big moves, and they're not always easy. Sometimes it's difficult. And for 2 years, I waited to see what the Lord had, and guess what he had? He had this beautiful, amazing church right here and this new family that I'm so thankful to be a part of. Not in our lifetime could Lori and I have made these things happen. God had already established it from beginning to end. So what about us as believers? What is God going to call you to do? First thought is this. Giant moves for God can be painful. My notes are on the app, by the way, Harvest VA. If you go and check it out on the app store, pull it down. It's got our notes every Sunday if you need them. But it can be painful. So we know in the story of Exodus, Pharaoh finally decides to release God's children. Moses is walking them out. I'm sure they're celebrating. They're looking forward to going into the promised land and making their way to there, and they get to the Red Sea. So where we know that at some point Pharaoh's heart just gets crazy, And he wants to go get them. He wants to destroy them. He wants to annihilate them. And he takes his armies and he goes after them. And in Exodus 14, starting in verse 10, it says, "When Pharaoh drew near, the people of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they feared greatly. And the people of Israel cried out to the Lord." Guys, listen to this. If you go on, you read a little bit more of those scriptures, they're not just crying out to the Lord. They start going after Moses. Remember what I talked about? Literally turned on him immediately. And so in verse 15, it says, "The Lord said to Moses, 'Why are you crying to me? Tell the people to get moving.'" Again, when God calls us to something new, there is going to be this tearing away from our old selves. A tearing away. It's not easy. It's not comfortable because that means that we're going to have to let go of something. We're letting go of something so that we can move into something that God has greatly for us. It's what's, we're being torn away from what is comfortable, what is normal, what I can control. Guys, look at this thought. Giant moves of God will always bring out the critics. Moses had his critics. You're going to have your critics. Your critics are going to stand to the side. God is asking you to make this giant move of faith or something that's going on in your spiritual life. You're here, and God is wanting you to be here spiritually. So to get from there to here, it's a giant move. You know it is. All of a sudden, the critics come in. They say, "That's not God. He wouldn't ask you to do that. Why did God not say that to me?" Or discouraging words, no support, no life-giving words. A critical spirit always brings confusion. I want to encourage you to speak life. I want to encourage you to be a life giver. And I want to give you a life-giving reminder that no matter what giant move God asks you to do, I want to remind you of something. You have been anointed to do it. Don't question that. If God is going to ask you to make this giant move in your life, then you have to believe that you've already been anointed for it. 1 John 2:27 says, "As for you, the anointing, the special gift, the preparation which you receive from him remains," what does it say, you guys? "Permanently." You're good to go. He's put it before you. He said, "This is what I'm expecting. This is what I want to see in your life. This is where we're going. You might not know how this is going to end, but I'm calling you to do it." And you might be shaking in your boots, but just know, biblically, you are anointed for this move. Critics are always trying to look from the outside in, but they can't. Only God sees what's on the inside. Give me an amen. Amen. 1 Samuel 16:7 says, But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but thank the Lord, he looks on the heart. I'm going to go back when Lori first was in her second semester at Regent. So we've already gone through the first semester. We've already paid all this money to get into the school. We're invested. We're here. We've moved. She gets into her second semester, and she has this professor that at some point, I think it was in with the first week or two, she goes up to ask him some questions and get some advice, and he just looks at her and he says, Lori, you're too old. Guys, listen. Guys, you don't tell women they're too old. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, what is this guy thinking, man? You know, he's like, he tells my wife she's too old, and he says, you got into the game too late. So I'm at home. I get home from Faith Alive. I come home after work, and she comes in, and she starts sharing this discouraging news. I can tell it has broke her heart. And I sat up on the counter in my kitchen, and I pulled her close, and I said, Lori, I want to remind you of something. Your professor didn't call you from California to Virginia. God did. I literally said this to her. I don't care what he said to you. God called you out here. And so something just kind of flipped inside of there. And let me tell you what happened a little bit fast forward. Lori starts writing for him. Lori starts producing in that class. And before that semester's over, she is his favorite student and gives her the only internship to 700 Club. Lori was exactly where she was supposed to be. The easy thing, say easy again. Easy. The easy thing would have been for her to give up, tuck tail, and let's just go back to California. God is calling us to bigger and greater things in Him. In Him, not in our parents, not in our professors, not in our own strengths, not on the words of our critics. We are being called in Him to make these moves, to Jesus, in Jesus, through Jesus. It might be painful now, but the promise is on the other side of the pain. Second thought is this: giant moves for God creates forward motion. I was a junior in high school playing basketball for Fair High. And our coach had us doing some conditioning before the season got going. And we just got this new machine that the Arkansas Razorbacks were using, and we got it donated to our school. And you got into it on your legs, and you started moving like this, and it would create a motor that would give resistance, and you could dial up the levels, and so you would get on that thing, and you would do it for a minute or two straight until you just thought you were going to die, and then he would have us run outside, and he'd be waiting on us, and there was a hill that went straight up. I mean, the biggest hill behind our school, dirt and rocks, that's all it was, trees in the way, and we would have to run up, come back down, and go right back in and do that thing again. And we were doing it over and over until one time I came out and I had my hands on my knees and I'm just, sweat is pouring off, and I'm literally thinking I'm about to pass out. And Coach Mobley looks at me and goes, Stuart, move. I'm just telling you, I look back on that, creating that forward motion, keeping going, that as that season went on, we were always the team that outlasted every team that we ever played because we put that work in. Joyce Meyer says this, it's important to understand that courage isn't the absence of fear, it's moving forward when you feel afraid. And if we will do that, God will lead us straight through our fears into His perfect will for our lives. Isn't that a great thought? Forward motion defined as the act of moving forward as toward a goal. God has goals for us. He has purpose, and we're moving toward them. I think we all understand that for it to be possible to complete the giant moves that God is calling us to, we have to choose to move. We have to choose to move forward and to grab a hold of a new thing that God has created for each and every one of us. Jesus knows that we all need momentum in our lives. I would just say determine in your heart today to be exactly what God wants you to be everything that God wants you to have, and to keep moving toward Him. Forward motion, embracing the stretching of the Holy Spirit that He's about to put you through. Yesterday is gone. Guys, listen to me. Yesterday's done. It's over. Tomorrow, I can't control. But today is a gift of God. I woke up this morning and I took a breath and I'm alive and I'm in the house of the Lord. Yesterday, I can't bring it back. Tomorrow, I have no idea what God is going to take me into. But today is a gift of God. Come on, give me a hand of praise for that. That's the Lord. Luke 9:62. Don't give me a hand of praise. Give God a hand of praise. Luke 9:62. Jesus said to him, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." Guys, we have read that scripture so many times, but if you really look at what Jesus is saying, it's harsh. That's harsh. Because he's saying that if you're going to move where I'm calling you to, you put your hand on the plow. We're going to start plowing this way. If you look back, the scripture says what? You're not fit for the kingdom of God. That's the words of Christ. But he's letting us know that we have to, look, if we're going to go forward, once we make that commitment, we put our hands on the plow, he's taking us to a new thing, a giant move that's going to change our lives. He doesn't have time to be messing with us, looking back and going, yeah, but 10 years ago, it was good too. Philippians 3:13, brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. Saying yes to the moves of God creates the forward motion we need in our lives. Third thought, giant moves for God requires faith. Hebrews 11, starting with verse 8, says, "By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God." I believe that today God is going to ask us all. In fact, let me just say it this way. When God does reveal to us what he wants us to do, he's going to ask us to consider two things, and this is the first one. The difference between his approval and man's approval. He's going to ask you to consider, is my faith based on my ability or is it based on his? Dr. Youngie Cho, he was the pastor of Full Gospel Church, but also the pastor of the largest church of the world at one time. He wrote a book called The Fourth Dimension. If you're looking for a book to kind of really stretch your mind out a little bit, read it. It's got a great testimony in there about himself, but just talks about really how the Holy Spirit moves. And he has a little subject in there talking about head faith versus belly faith. And when you read the book, you begin to quickly realize that head faith is where critics can come in and mess with you. It's where flesh, our own flesh, can come in here and we start this thing. We can be down at the altar and God is saying, this is what I'm going to do with you. This is what I need you to do. Let's get it going. And we get up and we're fired up. We wake up the next morning and all of a sudden our mind is going, I'll do it next week. I'll do it next month. And then we never end up doing it. Whereas belly faith, I don't know why he calls it belly faith, but to me it just gives us the picture that it's coming from a place where man can't touch it. It's a faith that we know it comes from God. It stirs us in the middle of the night and it wakes us in the morning and it gets us through. It's a faith where we say, God, I know it's you and we're going to do it. I'm moving no matter what it takes. Have the posture before God that shows trust and speaks belief and allows the Holy Spirit to have complete control. I can't control who accepts me. I can't control who loves or supports Lori and I. I can't control negative people or those who are critical of me. I can't control people who might judge, misunderstand, or misinterpret plans that God has for my life. But I can pray for the ability to love people. I can know my worth and the value that I have in Jesus Christ. I can ask Jesus to increase my faith every day. And I can fully surrender to the plans God has for my life and let the Holy Spirit have complete control. Faith is required. And without it, we will miss the mark. we will miss those markers that God lays out for us that's showing us that we're still going in the right direction. Hebrews 11:6 says, it's impossible to please God apart from faith. And why? Because anyone who wants to approach God must believe both that he exists and that he cares enough to respond to those who seek him. My last thought is this. Giant moves for God will be life-changing. Let me say that again. They will be life-changing. When I was 11 years old, my brother was 8, my aunt Gaynell came down to pick us up, to take her up to where she lived, up in northern Arkansas. And we loved it when she'd come get us because she had one of those, it was 1960-something Mustang, red, had those seats that when you threw it forward, remember, they'd go bang, 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 bang. Remember those seats? They didn't lock, you know, they weren't safety. They didn't have headrests. They were just cool, you know what I mean? So we couldn't wait to get in her car and go ride with her. And she, that night, she took us to the roller skating rink. And so, you know, I get in there and get my skates and I'm ready to go do my thing. And I look over and there is the prettiest girl, about 16, 17 years old, sitting up on the railing of the rink on a platform. And she knew all the words to the songs. Come on, you guys. You know, that's impressive when you know, and I'm like impressed with her. She's pretty and the whole. And so anyway, that was a moment. So I walked by, got my skates, and I just skated. I'm out there doing my thing. I'm dancing to all the songs and doing my moves and crashing and having a great time. And so I go over to where my aunt and my brother were sitting and had a Coke there. They were gone playing arcade games, and I pulled up there and was drinking my Coke. Well, then all of a sudden, the lights went low, and the light hit the disco ball. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And I'm sitting there with my back, and all of a sudden I feel a tap on my shoulder, and I turn around, and that girl says, would you like to couple skate with me? I thought for sure I had just died and gone to heaven. I didn't know what had happened. I don't even know how I responded to her. All I know is I was out there on the rink. All of a sudden, Dr. Hook starts singing. How many of y'all remember Dr. Hook? When you're in love with a beautiful woman comes on. And I'm sitting there, and I'm freaking out. I'm holding her hand. I don't even know what to say. And she flips around in front of me, and she's skating backwards. And I've got my hand on her upper hips. Don't worry, I was up here. She's got her hands on my shoulders, and we're skating around. And I'm going, oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. And then all of a sudden, about one time around, all of a sudden, my oh, my gosh, went to, oh, yeah. I mean, all the guys were, I was the envy of all the guys in that place. I was skating with the prettiest girl in that room, and we did our, you know, we talked and laughed and everything's, and she took me back to where my Coke was at the end. And guys, as the Lord is my witness, she bent down and kissed me real quick right on my mouth, and I just went. I could literally pass out right now and be completely happy. I mean, it was like the most unbelievable thing. But guys, listen to me. That was for a small moment of time. I never saw her again. Never thought about that again. You know, it was one of those things. It was just like a small moment in time. And guys, I'm with my wife today now for, you know, 32 years on Wednesday. And here's the thing is that, thank you very much. That was for a brief moment in time of my life that I just experienced something that I'd probably never experience again. But guys, listen to this. God leads us into moments that change our lives forever. We will never be the same, never, when he gets a hold of us. If you choose to be a follower of Christ, guys, catch what I'm about to say to you. You are going to be asked to make a big move. If you are a follower of Christ, at some point, you are going to be asked to make a giant move if you follow him. Guys, look at this scripture, Matthew 6:33. How many times have we read this scripture? But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Now, don't think I'm doing heresy or anything like this right here, but I want you to understand what that's saying right here. But if I seek first the kingdom of God, that means I have a relationship with Jesus. Is everybody with me so far? So I said, if you have a relationship with Christ, at some point he is going to ask you to make a big move. So this scripture is saying that if I seek first the kingdom of God, if I have a relationship with Jesus, all these things will be added to you. A lot of the times, I think that when we think of a scripture like that, we're thinking of joy and my son returning to Jesus and all these other. But sometimes, what if this is saying, and all these things will be added to you, is that it's the giant moves that come. You've got a relationship with Jesus. He's speaking to you, and he's saying, I want you to make this giant move because it's going to bring blessing into your life. Well, if I'm seeking him, and I say yes to what he's asking me to do, then all these things are going to be added to me. I get it because of obedience. I get it because I'm seeking him out. That's the beauty of a relationship with Jesus. Life is never the same. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Moving, drawing near to God, saying yes to his plans, and making giant moves. I want this. Things might have been good 10 or 20 years ago. They really could have been. They could have been like some markers in your life where your faith grew, or you look back at when you got baptized and all these things, and this is how the church used to be and whatever. But at some point, I want to look at what is God got. When I think of God, in my relationship with Christ, and he says the best is yet to come, that's what I want to go for. Man, God has been good to Lori and I. But I love the thought in my heart and in my mind that I can think, wow, it was good, but I'm looking for even the better. I can't wait for God to use me this way. I can't wait to see what he's going to do next year. I can't wait to see what he's going to do in my kids' lives. Is everybody with me? We're looking at the best to come in God. In closing, I'm going to have the worship team come up. First of all, can we give a hand to our worship team and just thank them for the worship this morning? So again, let me just say this. If I really do believe that God has the best yet to come in my life, let me say this, because Holy Spirit, just help me with this. Sometimes it's hard to move to what God is calling us to because we've had some things happen to us that have just crashed our world. I don't know what that looks like. I know what Lori and I went through back in 2011, and it's hard to get going. I went through a 3-year just darkness. At some point, I had to just wake up myself and with the help of Christ, go, enough's enough. I've said that before. But to move into the next big giant move that God has for us, at some point, God has to come in, and he gives us that freedom to move past what's happened to us, move past what we're going through, moves past our own insecurities, and we go into what is giant for our life. Job 42:12 says this way, and this is what I'm claiming for my life. So the Lord blessed Job in the second half of his life even more than the beginning. Can we believe that? Giant moves for God, just to recap, they can be painful. Giant moves for God create forward motion. They're going to require faith, and they will be life-changing. Everybody say easy one more time. Easy is not what God is calling you to. I promise you it's not. Giant moves, God-ordained, Christ-centered, Spirit-led. Harvest VA, get ready! God is moving us to something big, and it's something that's beyond anything that we can control. And that if we will live our lives and base our lives on what the Holy Spirit is calling us to, if we will let go of our insecurities, if we will be people that will find a place before the Lord and posture ourselves in worship, in dedication, in admiring the Lord and for what he is and who he is. That is, he establishes us as oaks of righteousness to display the splendor of the world for all the world to see. That if we find our place there, God is going to be able to see us through the next giant move. And he's going to place us in a place that no man can take away from us, because we know it's from him. In his will, not just what I want, but what I need. 1 John 2:17 says this, the world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God, what does it say? Lives forever. Doesn't get any better than that, you guys. In the Message, it says it this way, but whoever does what God wants is what? Set for eternity. From beginning to end. God is about the giant moves because it helps us grow. It helps us build the kingdom of God. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Heavenly Father, thank you, dear Jesus, that even now that as your worship is beginning to stir, that Lord, I believe our altars, we had people down here today just finding this place. And I want to do this for our people today is that, God, that if you're asking us to do something, we already know that you've asked us to do it and we haven't responded. I pray that today we deal with it. For those of us, Lord, that were like me, that for 2 years went through this period of like, Lord, what's going on? What is going on in my life? What is the next thing that you're calling me to? Today, we want to deal with that. Today, we want to start talking to you about that. Father God, if you, in our relationship, that what we're learning, that with your son, Jesus, that Jesus, you are at some point going to require some giant moves in our life. And I believe that there are men and women sitting in this room today, dear God, that want to hear from you, that want to see growth in their lives, but they're going to need your help. Church, with nobody looking around, I just want you to get into a place of being able to respond. Remember, it's not easy.